The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I couldn't wait to have the time to actually do the work I've been dreaming of doing since I was a kid.
Kathy Lee Gifford says it's never too late. Make the next act of your life the best act of your life.
I don't see any story in the entire Bible where somebody retired.
Nope.
I'm not sure if there's a word for it in the Hebrew.
Finding meaning in major life changes, next on Life Today.
Hi, and welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm so glad you joined us. And you're going to be very glad you joined us, too. I will never forget the day when I heard that Kathy Lee was stepping down from her position with Huda Copy. And my husband and I were devastated. We were no longer going to be able to run into the room and say at the same time, how do we do it day after day? But if you thought she was retiring, think again. Please welcome my lovely guest, Kathy Lee Gifford. What a joy to have you on Life Today.
Oh, Sheila, you know how I feel about you, so don't get me started.
It's good to be with you. Great new book. It's never too late. Make the next act of your life the best act of your life. That's a fantastic title. What led to writing this book at this stage in your life?
Well, I had no desire to, you know, we've talked often, Sheila, about the fact that all I want to do now is make films and do these oratorios that I'm doing, telling the Bible stories in a brand new way with symphonic music and all of that. But I have a very dear friend who's one of my publishers at my publishing company. And he came to me and said, Kathy, I really think you're supposed to write this book. I said, I can't. I've got a little children's book coming out any minute now. They wanted it within like 3 months, and they knew that I was leaving the Today Show. And it was a heavy road ahead. And I don't like to write about myself. I'll write about the Bible. I'll write about Amy Semple McPherson for a Broadway musical. I'll write about, you know, lots of other subjects. But I find my own, I know how my story ends. I mean, not ends, but I know the end of every chapter because I lived it.
Right.
And it's not a fun project. But he convinced me that because of the interest in my decades-long career now, and it is, I can't avoid the truth. I've been in this business over 50 years now and been in the public eye for 40.
Wow.
You know, it's just there's a fascination that people have. So people are going to want to know what you're doing next. And I've always been amazed that anybody cared, but they do. God bless them. God love them. And most of the people that have been in my life all these years have been great, great friends to me, not just fans. You know, they've prayed for me every day. I feel their prayers. They've supported me when the world came at me with stuff that wasn't true. They supported, you know, the truth about me. And so I'm very mindful that I'm not obligated to people like that, but I'm extremely blessed and grateful to them. So he said, why don't you write a book about how, you know, at the age of 67 now, I was 66 when I was writing it, you have no intention of retiring. You're refiring. If you read the Bible, you're a student of the word, like many people are not. Sheila, you are truly a student of the word. I don't see any story in the entire Bible where somebody retired.
Nope.
I'm not sure if there's a word for it in the Hebrew, you know, just like there's no word for coincidence in the Hebrew because it doesn't exist. God is either sovereign God or he's not God at all. Maybe there's a story of some, I'd love someone to tell me, yes, so-and-so retired at the age of, no, they died. They died and went on to glory doing what God still had them to do. So, I mean, that's one of our Western cultural things, that we retire and our monetary system's built around, you know, hit the retirement age and then you get your Social Security and then you get, well, I don't have a Social Security. I have it, but I have eternal security. You know, You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
I mean, I don't want the government to keep... I don't look to the government to take care of me. I look at my Jehovah God, Abba Father, to take care of me. So I had never had any intention of retiring from my work. I couldn't wait to have the time to actually do the work I've been dreaming of doing since I was a kid.
You know, I remember interviewing our mutual friend, Billy Graham, on his 70th birthday. And I asked him that very question. I said, do you have any plans for retirement? And he said, Sheila, that is not a biblical principle. I will do what God I will do what God has called me to do until the day the Lord takes me home. And I just love that.
Exactly. And he did. He did. One of the other things that Billy said, and I live by so many of the things he said. So someone asked him once, what has surprised you in all these years? I think he was well into his 80s by that time. What is the one thing about life that surprises you the most? And I thought it would be some deeply spiritual, you know, answer. He goes, the brevity of it. The shortness.
Wow.
The shortness.
Wow.
And once Frank passed away and I held him in my arms and I knew exactly where he was. He'd gone on to glory. So I didn't lose my husband. I know where he is. The Lord has taken him from me for a brief time, for whatever time he has. And I'll be reunited with him, my parents, all whom I love who've died and gone on to glory. They're just waiting. They're rejoicing and waiting for us. And I think, you know, I don't know that they're praying for us, that I've never read about, but they sure, they're sure talking to Jesus about us, I think. And, you know,
I think so.
Yeah. That gives me comfort to think it. It's not anywhere I can quote verse and chapter. But anyway, I just know that he still has plans for us, for a future and a hope. And I don't want to miss out on it. And when I was holding Frank that day, I just thought, you know, I think ever since then, honestly, I've been aware of my own mortality far more than I ever. I don't think about death. I barely think about what's tomorrow because I'm so busy today. But I started to be much more aware that my time was running out. You know, I mean, I'm in the best physical shape of my life, thank God. I'm healthy. I'm got a million projects going on right now and that are really important to me. So I don't know if I have 10 more minutes on this planet or 30 more years. I don't care. You know, I've always said that the greatest day in a Christian's life is the day they die. Because
Absolutely. In
a weird way, I mean, that's where we get our reward. That's when we go and be with our Savior. Do I want to rush it? No, of course not. God has work for me to do. And I'm so excited that both of my children got married this past year. And
Yay!
They're all moving down to this part of the world that I live in now. And they're going to have families of their own, Lord willing. And I would like to be around for some of that. Not to drive them crazy and not to, you know, hover over. I'm not that kind of mother, thank goodness. Because my mother was, and I learned how I didn't want to be when I got older. I didn't want to, you know, micromanaging my adult children's lives. I adored my mom, and I miss her every day. But she had a problem with control. And I don't want to be that kind of mother.
No.
Once they're adults
I've
raised them, they're on their own unless they need me or ask for my opinion. You know, otherwise, it's, believe it or not, it's zip.
That's a great perspective. But let me tell you something. When I was blessed enough to get an advanced copy of your book to read. So I sat down, literally read it from cover to cover. And there's several things I took away. But one of the things that was so clear to me, Kathy, and it almost made me weep, was the way God has used you to touch the lives of people most of us never come in contact with. But you've never been in a traditional ministry role because we like to say, well, that's ministry and this is not. You have been out there being salt and light in the world, and God has used you to touch so many people's lives.
Well, it certainly wasn't my plan. I wanted to be an actress and a singer all my life, and the Lord took me a different direction. I started working with Regis, doing a talk show there. I never dreamed of being a talk show host when I was growing up. There were no talk shows. And and there certainly weren't any women talk show hosts, and I didn't even know what that looked like. So I was just trying to follow Jesus, and sometimes he takes us around high or narrow paths around in a circuitous way, and And as a result, I mean, I remember, though, knowing as a child, and I came to know the Lord in a movie theater, Billy Graham's movie, The Restless Ones, and that's how I became friends with Billy. When I was early 20s, I met him, and we were he was a lifetime friend for me, and I'm just, as you know, when you meet Billy, and he won't let you call him anything but Billy, says, if we're going to be friends, you got to call me Billy. You know, we all want to call him Dr. Graham or Reverend or, you know, something. No, he was, wasn't he just the most incredibly humble man you'd ever known?
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Just
absolutely.
So humble. And he never changed his message that it's the gospel. You know, just as you are, come to your Savior, you know, just as you are. And I just so respected him. And even through this whole, you know, election year and season and all of that, I've never gotten involved with politics because of Billy. Because he did regret the few times that he was vocal politically. Yeah. He said, Kathy, just keep your focus on Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. He doesn't divide. He doesn't, you know, politics can be so divisive depending on, you know, they just are by nature.
Yeah.
He said, but just tell people how much Jesus loves them. So, and I found out that day, when I went forward at that movie, that how much Jesus loved me. He said, if you trust me, Kathy, receive me and trust me, I will make something beautiful out of your life. And that's what he's done. Any ugliness in my life was my fault or someone else's in my life, but never because God brought despair into my life to punish me. You know, people say, but it says fear of the Lord is the beginning of, you know, of wisdom. And I said, well, the word for fear in the Hebrew is yireh, Y-I-R-E-H. I don't think I pronounce it right, but I know it when I see it. And 90% of the times it's used in the Bible, it means awe and worship of the Lord.
Yeah.
Not fear in the way we understand fear in the Western world. Only people who should ever fear God are God's enemies. People who have chosen to be an enemy of God, not his children. And for too long, through the centuries, the church has used fear to control believers and, you know, preaching the hellfire and brimstone. And I never responded to that. I respond to love. I respond to acceptance and compassion and tenderness and understanding. That's who my Lord is. And so anyway, I just knew that God was calling me to a so-called secular career. But I'm not to separate the secular from the spiritual. I'm just one woman, child of God, living my life.
Right.
I happen to make my living in a certain way. But God has used me more there, Sheila. I know with all my heart, if he had called me to be a missionary to anywhere in the world. I was called to be a missionary, but to that world.
Right.
And you're right, in this book, I talk so much about sharing him. Every time I was with somebody, I would share the hope of glory. But mostly if they asked me about it, you know, who was it? I think it was St. Augustine or one of those that said, you know, preach the gospel at all times, but when necessary, use words.
Yeah, I love that.
And I tell a story in the book about being on the latest movie set of the movie that I wrote with my friend, your Scottish brother, you know.
Yes, you're in my homeland.
Craig Ferguson. And he asked me, he said, why do you love me and Ricky Gervais, Kathy? We're bad guys. We're not good guys. I said, yes, you are. I love you to pieces. He said, but why? We don't believe anything you believe. And I said, but you're wonderful and you're talented and you're made in God's image, whether you believe in him or not, because I was called Craig, my favorite agnostic, and Ricky Gervais, my favorite atheist. And I said, but God loves you. You're created in his image and he loves you. And I love everybody that God loves. And this is a thing that I talk about in the book that breaks my heart. Craig looked at me and he goes, Kathy, we've never had a person of faith tell us that they love us. And I remember saying to him, well, then you've never met one. Because if you don't love people, you cannot claim to love God. You just can't.
That is scriptural. That's absolutely scriptural. You cannot say you love God and curse other people. But you've been used to touch, I mean, really unusual, the least likely people to cross your path, whether it was shock jock Howard Stern or Evel Knievel. Yes. The story of Evel Knievel in the book just blew me away.
I know. 30 years it took for Howard to ask for forgiveness from me. But I prayed for him every single day. And God is the how, God of how and when. If he makes a promise and you start praying for somebody, he knows how it's going to come about and he knows when. And we're not to question. We're just supposed to, you know, be anxious for nothing, but just persevere. And in all things, it keeps just keep praying. Thessalonians, right? Just keep praying and watch and then stand back and watch what he will do. You know, I know God always shows up, but sometimes in our lives, he really shows off, too. You know, he shows off. I was just shooting three more of my oratorios out in Utah last week. And I mean, talk about God showing off in that incredible geography there and telling the stories of the people that came before us in our oratorio called The God of the How and When, about Sarah and Abraham waiting all those years for the promise to be fulfilled of the son Isaac so that God could make Abraham the father of a great nation, which of course is the Jews, and then how everybody had to wait for a deliverer after 400 years of slavery under Pharaoh. Who does he send? He sends Moses, not the least bit equipped, in quotes, for the job. And then, you know, then after 40 years in waiting to get into the promised land, God raises up Joshua. And then it goes to the next one 2,000 years later, the most unlikely of all people to set into motion the salvation for all of humankind, a teenage girl and the man she was engaged to marry. So, I mean, I just love telling these stories. They're ancient stories, but they're ripped from the headlines today. They really are.
When will we be able to see that next one, Kathy?
Hopefully Easter. Yeah, though it's three more, Sheila. It's called The Way now. It's the kind of thing that in the morning when you have a lot of time to linger with the Lord, or you're going on a walk or you're on a long drive, just to listen to it and to realize that we're all a part of God's magnificent love story. You know, ever since he created us, he has longed to bring us home to Bet Av, the Father's house. And that's what this is all about. It's an hour and a half long, and I've got some of the finest talent in all of the world playing these roles. And then we do the second one. The second one's called The God of His Word, and that's with Danny Gokey. Third one is the one with
I love him.
You know, our darling, engaged now friend, Nicole C. Mullen.
Yes.
And then the fourth one is called The God of the Other Side. Because when Jesus called his disciples and he said, get in the boat and meet me on the other side. Mm-hmm. We as Westerners just think, well, he's just saying, meet me on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. No big deal. I'm going to go into the mountains and pray and I'll meet you there. We've never been taught the context of Jesus saying that to his disciples. And the truth is, that's the most terrifying thing he could have ever said to them, because the other side was the Decapolis, the 10 cities right there, just 5 miles from Capernaum, where everybody who were pagans at the time ran from the Hebrews who weren't the Israelites yet. They were the Hebrews who were under Joshua coming in to conquer the land. They ran and settled in that area. Well, that was as unclean as any place could be for a good Jew. So here's Jesus calling the 12 men to follow him. Follow him where? To the most disgusting place they've been told their entire lives, never go to the other side. So Jesus even then was saying, if you're going to follow me, we're going to take quite the journey, and you're going to break every rule you've been told all your life. Is, you know, I decide what's clean and unclean. And that's the reason I came.
That is so powerful.
Was to for the broken, the unclean, the unloved, the unsaved. And we have lost our way in the Western church. I believe.
Yeah.
When we aren't loving people into the kingdom of God every day, something's wrong with our theology.
Absolutely. Okay, people, I know this for sure. You want this book. For any gift you send in today, we will send you Kathy's brand new book, It's Never Too Late. But first of all, I would ask if you would help us to help some mothers and children on the other side of the world right now who are literally starving. So please watch this and then we'll be back.
For 30 years, viewers of Life Today have been helping save millions of lives from malnutrition and starvation. Though you may never meet them in this life, people like Jose, Jacob, and Matthew are grateful that you chose to make mission feeding possible through your giving. But while there is cause for celebration, there are children we've still been unable to reach. Their tragedies caution us against growing complacent.
Angelica was only 5 years old when they buried her here. They put a marker in the sand with her name and the dates. And if you look at the inscription here, you can see that it won't last that long. It will fade. Malnutrition is robbing children of their future. These children must not be forgotten. I can promise you, God knows them by name. Will you think about those that we can still save? There are so many that are right on that edge of life and death, and we make the difference. Let's not forget them. I'm asking you to do something right now. Support the Mission Feeding Outreach, because that's how we stop this cycle of death. Because you really can make a difference. You can give these children hope and a future instead of an unmarked grave.
You know, I think one of the greatest impacts when you finally begin to embrace how much you're loved by God, when you finally get through all our old mindsets of, but I did this and but I did that, or I failed here and I failed that, when you finally are able to begin to receive the grace of God, that God knows you exactly as you are right now, and He loves you. I don't care what you did last night. Right now, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And when you get hold of that, it changes how you see the whole world. There's no way that you can turn away anymore from children like these precious little ones. And all they want is the ability to have a meal, a bowl of nutritious food. And for these mothers, you know, we've met so many of these moms in Africa. We've had the privilege of praying for them. But it's never enough when you see such devastating human need. It's so easy to pray and then walk away. But Jesus compels us to reach out in His name and change things. We have made a commitment here at Life to feed 350,000 children this year. We're getting to the end of the year. Do you know that every single one of us can do this? Because the way we've broken it down, $30 would feed three children for three whole months. You know, I did an experiment last night. I went to one of those drive-through restaurants and got a meal for my husband and myself and got something for the dogs. It cost me more than $30, and it was gone like that. $30 will feed three children, not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, for three whole months. If you can do $50, that will feed five children for 3 months. 100 feeds 10. And if God has blessed you this year, if you're looking for a way to express your love for the outrageous love of God, $1,000 will feed 100 children for 3 months. I mean, that's like January, February, March. Think of that. There's nothing else you could do with that amount of money that would make that big of an impact. And as I've said, for any gift at all, we will send you Kathy Lee's fantastic new book. It will bless you. But let's not just receive the blessings from God. Let's reach out and make a difference in Jesus' name. Our partners are on the ground now and they're waiting. So please, would you do it now? Would you go to your phone? Will you call that number on the screen and just give what you can? If we all give what we can change the world in Jesus' name. Please call. Please call now.
Today, on top of the daily fight for life and food, Families and children across Africa are now forced to deal with the challenges of a global health crisis. Because of COVID-19, food scarcity has increased drastically, and the fear of dying from lack of food is far greater than the virus itself. Even in these unprecedented times, Mission Feeding won't stop. With your help, Mission Feeding will continue to be a daily source of food, encouragement, and health for the 350,000 children counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you 40 Days of Healing Promises. This beautiful hardcover devotional will encourage you in your faith as you dive deep into the healing promises that are yours in Jesus' name. With your gift of $100 or more, please request a Blessings for Your Home Bowls and Tea Towels set. This set of bowls and two beautifully designed tea towels will make a wonderful addition to your home and serve as a reminder of your help in blessing others as a friend of life. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
In Angola right now, we're seeing our malnutrition clinics fuller than they've ever been. Literally, I mean, in certain circumstances, there's more than one child per bed. There's mothers on the floor with children. The situation is absolutely critical right now. But we have the solution. We're in place. We're ready to save their lives. But the last and final ingredient we do not have, and that is the resources to make it possible for us to procure the food we need and to get the food to those people that so desperately need it. Open your hearts today. Partner with us, giving the gift of life by giving the gift of food.
Thank you so much for helping us feed these children. They desperately need it. And remember, for any gift at all, you can request Kathy Lee's brand new book, It's Never Too Late. Make the rest of your life the best of your life. We love you here at Life Today, Kathy Lee. Thank you so much for being with us.
I love you back, my sweet friend. Lord bless you big time.
And we'll see you next time on Life Today. God bless you.
Next week on Life Today, James and Betty help you celebrate Christmas with special music from Sheila Walsh, Four Hymns Mark Harris, Anthony Evans, and more. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.